Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. How's everybody doing? How are we holding up so far? It is January 22nd, a Wednesday, 2025, and world's on fire. And not just figuratively, but also literally, California's wildfires are still out of control, although there have been some reports that there is a little bit of a drift in the wind. But anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. First, again, as always, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for popping on over to patreon.com just to follow along. Like I said, it's free over there. If you want to throw $3 a month to help support the podcast, that's super appreciated. But the greatest thing you can do is to download this show when it comes up every week, share it with a friend, and get them to listen as well. That would be amazing. And if you want to post it on your social media pages, I'm not going to say no to that. I'm definitely going to be agreeable to that. So thank you for everything you've done, whether it's sharing the show, listening, even just turning it on in the background and walking away. It's fine with me. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not ever going to know, you know, unless you tell me. So whatever you do to support the show, super duper grateful. And also thank you for all the support over on Twitch. Been taking a little bit of sabbatical from streaming, which I mentioned I was going to do last week, and I just finally pulled the trigger on it. It's not that I won't be back. I'll obviously come back for the January subscriber giveaway stream, and I may do a pop-up every now and again over the next week or so. But yeah, don't look for any official streams probably into maybe like the first week of February once that's all settled and gone through. Usually I take about 2 weeks to a month just to kind of decompress from Twitch, take a step back from streaming, and just enjoy, you know. This time around, however, I'm taking some time off to work on some collaborations I want to put together and also some artwork that I've been desperately needing to put out. So while you might not see me online, on Twitch as much, I just know that I'm working towards trying to build up the Twitch channel and also work on the podcast stuff here and, you know, just like basically, you know, embellish the look and feel, maybe rebranding a little bit. And we'll dig into that all a little bit later. But yeah, go and stop on over to twitch.tv/linkib and throw me a follow. No need to subscribe if you don't want to, but you can always follow along and watch for free over on Twitch. And it would still be cool to have you guys pop in and say hello. And let's get into some, let's talk some shit. boy. Now, we're not even through the first half of the week of now President Donald J. Trump being back in the White House, and it's bananas. I'm going to get this stuff out of the way first off, just because it's ridiculous and weird. There's plenty of other cool stuff I'm going to talk about, and I'd like to go there and stay most of the podcast there. And there's also some frustrating stuff to talk about as well. But I'm just going to basically do some, you know, bullet points about the inauguration. One, I found it hilarious that he decided to take it inside because it was too cold for everybody. You know, for a party that prides themselves on being ultra-tough badasses and whatnot, a little cold weather drove them all indoors. Womp, womp. So I think it's just kind of funny that, you know, he took himself and his, you know, he took the official party inside, right? But then all the people who had traveled from all around the country possibly to come and see him for that one day, to stand outside and, you know, cheer on the disaster in chief, they all had to stand out in the cold. Look, all right, look, I know that seems kind of it seems kind of shitty and messed up to laugh at him, right? But you know, this is what I keep saying whenever I see some wild shit come out about what, you know, MAGA Republicans are doing or Trump has done, my only real answer is, hey, they asked for it. The man's been telling you who he was for years, and especially, I mean, from his first election all the way up till today, he hasn't lied to you about who he is. He'll lie to you about what he's going to do, but he's always been honest about who he is. During the campaign trail, what did he say? I don't care about you. I just want your votes. I don't care. Those were his words, verbatim. He's basically talked about how much he loves the poorly educated. Doesn't say why, though, but it's really because they're too fucking dumb to realize that he's a con artist. He's built an entire career on being a con artist. I mean, all the way from not renting to black people in New York when he was running, slumlords, and he was basically being a slumlord, to not paying workers who did projects for him on different casinos and hotels and resorts that he owned, to defrauding people from Trump University, all the way right up until, recently now with his stupid meme coin that spiked out, I think it was $76 billion in value. This fucker owned most of the shares in it. So, like, of course he was going to get all that money. And people were losing their ass over it now. So he's never really lied about who he is or what he's about. He's definitely lied to everybody about what he's going to do. And made promises and promises and promises that he definitely he couldn't possibly keep, and two, doesn't really want to, because he doesn't care about the average human being in America. He doesn't really care about you. None of us. He barely cares about the people who are kissing his ass and, paying his bills. So if it becomes politically or financially expedient for him to cut off, his new pals like Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos or, any one of the other tech billionaire or tech millionaire CEO people who've like cozied up to his nutsack, when it becomes expedient for him or convenient for him to get rid of them or to wheel on them, he will. And that's no different than anybody else especially in the MAGA, cult, the MAGA coven of, ne'er-do-wells. There's no loyalty there. There's no love there. It's literally just a coalition of willful idiots who want to make America white again, for lack of a better way of putting it. It's literally become now a very thinly veiled nationalistic white, like Christian white nationalistic group of morons. And it's unfortunate because for some maybe constitutional conservatives that are out there, they have certain, political beliefs. They have certain beliefs about how our economy should function, how our foreign policy should function. And generally speaking, they just want people to, do good, be good, and be left the fuck alone. But these people are so incredibly invested, this MAGA cult, they're so incredibly invested in trying to micromanage and manhandle every aspect of American lives that they've lost the plot completely. And so that's why he says the weird things he's going to say, like, we're going to annex Greenland, we're going to take back the Panama Canal, we're going to get rid of birthright citizenship. What else has he promised? Like, the list goes on and on and on. Not really surprised that these people were standing out in the cold and being like, well, we didn't get to see your boy. Well, he didn't want to see you. There's no way he wants to lay eyes on you poors. You guys are beneath him. Literally beneath him is where he wants you. If he could step on your back so he never has to touch soil, he would. And I don't know how many different ways we have to say this, how many more analogies we can use to kind of illustrate and paint a picture for you so you get it. It really won't matter until some kind of initiative comes and starts taking away farms from people who voted for Trump. We need your land. Your land's got to come to us. It's manifest destiny. We need to take everything around. And then when they gobble up your shit and you're poor and destitute now in the street, you'd be like, someone please help. Well, they got rid of the welfare programs that would have helped benefit, which largely ends up benefiting a lot of white rural communities. But we're not going to dig into that. But, they're setting things up to knock them down. And these idiots are propping up the dominoes, and they're going to be right underneath them when they fall. So, again, we go back to the inauguration. People left out in the cold waiting forever. All the tech bros on parade. It was really funny to me to watch some of the photos of that whole thing where he put all the tech guys in front, all the politicians on the row behind them, which clearly lets you know where his priorities are, right? It was also really weird that TikTok was under threat of a ban that Trump actually initiated in his first term. And now that the ban was just about to go through and the TikTok shut off their servers, right as they started to bow down and kiss Trump's ass on his way into the office before his inauguration, they kept the ban up for 14 hours and then turned it back on. We'd like to thank President Trump for his efforts to keep our platform alive. I can't do it. I'm trying not to throw up in my mouth when I do that. It's very rare that you get to see an act of fellatio happen in real life across the entire internet and on national TV, but we all watched that when TikTok basically got down on not just one but both knees to Donald Trump. And it's embarrassing and horrifying, but at the same time, this is where we're at. This is what these idiots voted for. Of course, there's also his bizarre speech where he leaned back onto the weird campaign promises that he was making right up until and just after the election. Again, you know, we've heard the script before, right? You know, Greenland, Panama, Gulf of America, you know, yada, yada, yada. Make America great again. We're going to, you know, have the best economy because it's the worst right now, which is a complete fabrication. You know, it's just the normal, you know, rambling pack of lies and bullshit that he spits every day. I did think it was funny that he made fun of the village people and called them fat after they bowed down to kiss his ass to take the check and perform a song that they've been doing for years that they also just recently declared was not a gay or LGBTQ anthem. But yeah, it was really funny to watch them get called out for being fat. You know, basically it's like, they're bigger than they were back then. You won't recognize them. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Imagine being called, imagine going to like, let's say, forget the inauguration, right? Let's say you're a juggler and you get asked to go and perform at your friend's birthday party for some reason. I don't know, whatever. But you're doing a performance at somebody's birthday party and you come in and they're like, hey, just for you guys' enjoyment, check out my big fat fucking friend Ryan. You're like, what? I beg your finest fucking pardon? Is that how you're gonna address me right now? I would have fucking kicked him in the dick. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious. It was also really funny to watch Snoop Dogg get raked over the coals. I always loved Snoop, and it was really funny to have his words come back to bite him because he was calling everybody jigaboo ass niggas for wanting to perform for Donald Trump on his last inauguration. And guess who showed up to the crypto ball the day before the inauguration? Mr. SNOOPDOJZ went up there to get that bag from Trump and is getting bagged on by Twitter and by the internet in general. People are really, really disappointed in Snoop and also Carrie Underwood. But again, Carrie and Nelly, I was looking at this, I was talking about it with the wife, and I'm like, I know that they probably could spin this as like, I just went there for the bag. You know what I mean? I went there to like, you know, I'm scamming the ultimate scammer, right? He's a scam artist. Well, I scammed him. I got money. I got some, you know, got a little bit more social media buzz because I did this thing that was controversial. Now people are talking about me again. I'm super relevant. I'm like, you could say that for Nelly and Carrie Underwood, but for Snoop, it makes no sense. Snoop is hot all the time. So for him to do this was actually not even just considering his hardline stance on Trump and, you know, the artists and stuff who went out to support him or whatever, or perform for him, you know, just dancing and singing. Like he said, and those are Snoop's words, not mine. I didn't make that comment. That was him. That was a quote from his video that he put out years ago. And then you saw him at the, you know, at the crypto ball for Trump's next scam. Like I said, the meme coin that he raked people over the coals for. And yeah, Snoop up there smiling, taking pictures with all the celebrities and all the MAGA, you know, elite. And yeah, it was just, it was a heartbreaker, man. It was a real rough thing to see. And it was no surprise that, like, you know, the rich and the powerful, it was like, so when you're thinking about like the social media context and the business world and whatnot, like that you'd see, like, you know, the CEO of Google, Amazon, X, Twitter, Facebook, you know, and now the CEO of TikTok, you know, all kind of cozying up to Trump's butt. I'm not surprised to see it, but I will say that I'm at least a little disappointed that a lot of people don't seem fazed. They're just kind of like, well, you know, this is just business as usual. No, it's not. It's really not. Like, and if it is, it's not how it should be, because it doesn't mean anything good for the average American. I remember when TikTok was just under the threat of being closed down, how many people migrated over to Red Note, which is essentially the truly Chinese version of TikTok. TikTok is actually not Chinese. It's just It's created by a Singaporean, and it's the company that he owns is also partially owned by some Chinese corporate or governmental interests. So it's not a completely under that umbrella, but it's just enough for people to, you know, let their xenophobia take over and be like, it's China, and then be like, ah, we don't do it. But, you know, the people who wanted to continue to create and operate in that kind of space, you know, in that particular avenue of social media, moved to RedNote. And then as soon as TikTok opened up, guess what happened? They all ran right back. And it's like, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that goes, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool repeat his folly. And I got to watch it happen right there. And it was disgusting to me. I don't really mess with TikTok much. I had it on my phone just so I could open the app when people would send me TikTok videos. But I deleted it from my phone. I uninstalled it from my phone. And I think we're going to be doing the same thing with some other of these social media platforms as well. I know Google is like the basically default search engine, but there are other search engines out there. There are other operating systems. There are other companies that you can maneuver towards. And one of the things I've been looking at lately is, especially when it comes to like cell phones and technology, there are a couple other cell phone companies that are out there. One of them is called OnePlus. The other one's the Nothing Phone, and the other one's a Fairphone. Now, they all operate on an Android operating system, but they have other, they're a step removed from the Google infusion into the phones. Like, if you pick up a new phone today, right? Let's say you pick up the latest Samsung, which I think it was like the Galaxy S24 or whatever. If you pick that phone up today, it is just chock full of Google bloatware. Any Google product that exists, I mean, the ones that still exist anyway, are slammed into your phone, eating up most of the hard drive space, of which there's, I mean, precious little in the first place. And there's no upgradable storage options anymore for most phones, so you're kind of fucked there. But I just don't like the idea of having to be forced into a certain ecosystem. And it sucks because, again, you know, these companies have grown so big, and they've become so ubiquitous with the way we live our lives, that you can't really extricate yourself completely from that whole thing unless you want to live like a little house in the prairie lifestyle, right? Amazon is going to be in your life somehow, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you like Jeff Bezos or not, and most of us don't, Amazon is going to be in your life somehow. You know, for me personally, you know, it's through, you know, Amazon Prime, because you have the Prime, you know, shipping, you got Prime Video. It's in my life because of Twitch, because Amazon owns Twitch, because they just couldn't leave the Twitch money alone. And now he gets part of the money I get on Twitch, which is fucked up. But I mean, that's what you're going to get, you know. None of the other streaming services survive for video game streamers. So they all ate shit. And then, you know, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, they've managed to weasel their way into practically every aspect of American life. So no matter what happens, you're cozying up to at least one of them, whether you want to or not. You don't really have a lot of outside options, is what I'm saying. But in an effort to feed the beast a little bit less, I've been considering some different social media options out there. And there's a few, and that kind of fill the voids that would be left in the absence of, you know, a Facebook or an Instagram or a Twitter. There's other options that are out there and exist, you know, even like Facebook Messenger. I mean, there's perfectly reasonable chat clients that you can use, you know, as a group of friends, as a family, that don't play into Mark Zuckerberg's pocket anymore. It's just going to take a little bit of time and a little bit of an adjustment to make the shift. But I think if people actually really, you know, put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, or, you know, stood on business and were like, nah, I don't want to give this dude any more of my time, any more of my data, any more of, you know, my bandwidth, right? And they really pulled the plug on that stuff. If enough people did it, it would be financially detrimental enough to them that they'd have to go, okay, we're losing people left and right. Whatever we've done that we need to undo, we need to fix that. And that would be like people going like, oh, well, you cozied up to Trump and we didn't want that motherfucker in the first place, but you wanted him, so now you got him and you got everything that goes along with it. Have you not seen how he burns people and how he costs them money? Look what's happening to you now. But it would take enough people to actually get together and stand on it, which is why some of you may have noticed that I have not been on Facebook or Instagram this past couple days, on the 19th through the 26th, actually, because I was talking, well, I got a message from a friend of mine who was like, you know, hey, from the 19th to the 26th, complete Meta blackout. Like all these other social media sites, just ice them, you know? And so I pull myself off of Facebook and Instagram. And I will say this, to an extent, it's actually, it does improve your productivity because you will be surprised at how much time you find you have when you're not doom scrolling, as they say, through like Facebook feeds or Instagram reels or whatever. The amount of free time that you don't realize you're eating up with those minutes of time, those blocks and minutes of time put together is astronomical. And once you get a chance to look at it, even for a couple of days, you go, holy shit, I'm getting so much more done. So much more stuff is happening. I'm more alert. I'm more awake. I'm more focused. This kind of stuff. Because you're not constantly sucking in blue light through your phone and just hitting a weird dopamine drip. It's crazy. It's actually crazy. So like I decided I was going to go ahead and take myself off. And now that I'm off, I'm like, man, maybe I don't even know if I would ever want to go back. So I've been looking at different platforms. I think you guys might want to give it a shot too. I mean, who knows? Maybe if enough of us do that, it will be enough to make them eventually. I think the thing is like you have to decide like how much your, I guess the idea is everybody has a price. And for those folks that have to decide, like, what's it worth to them to continue to lose people and lose money because they don't have the people. And they go like, is that loss worth whatever I thought I stood to gain with this affiliation? And the answer is most likely going to end up being no. In a true cost-benefit analysis, they'd have to look at it and go, this is not worth the headache. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. We'll see. We'll see. There's some funky stuff that's happening out there in the world anyway, but aside from all the weirdness of, you know, Trump and all that jazz, this past week, during a House hearing, and this is great. This happened on the 14th, like literally happened like the day, I think it was the day I put the podcast out, the last podcast out or the day before. And I missed this story. It was the day before I missed the story. But then I caught it, and I'm like, oh, crap, I wish I'd had this last week, like yesterday, whatever. So Representative Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina, and Representative Jasmine Crockett, Democrat from Texas, got into a little bit of a spat during this one hearing. And Nancy Mace made the real stupid move of trying to tell, Representative Crockett, if you want to, we could take this outside. She's like, if you want to take it outside, we could do that. I'm like, look, as the homie Brian Simpson said on one of his last podcasts, he's like, some people, they like to talk a lot of, they talk a lot of smack like they got it like that, and they don't. And when somebody tests your chin and you find out you ain't got it like that, it changes you up. Like, you become a different person in their eyes. And so, like, during the House arguing, basically, Crockett was asking for a reestablishment of a subcommittee. Basically concerning civil rights, and was, you know, giving Mace the business about her rhetoric regarding transgender people in particular, who, and again, I'm going to say this because people don't get it. I'm sure there are people out there, especially if you're either very conservative or very religious, who are going to be like, you know, homosexuality is a sin. You know, being a transgender person isn't a real thing. You know, you're either a man or a woman. You know, this non-binary business is blah, 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 whatever. Look, here, I'm not here to tell you what to think or to believe on those kinds of issues. That's your business. I will say, I find it very bizarre that a party, and particularly the religious folks who are supposed to be so, quote unquote, holier than thou, are extremely concerned about what goes on in the bedrooms of other people and what they have between their legs. Seems a little perverted and weird to me. And, you know, I heard Daniel Tosh say this once, if you really believe in God and you believe that, you know, all this stuff is a sin, how weak do you think your God is if you think that he doesn't have that end zone defense up there to stop him from getting into heaven? You're going to try to do the Lord's work for him? I don't remember him ever asking you to delegate that to anybody's, you know, to regulate anybody's bedroom behavior or their, you know, sexual behavior. I think a lot of that stuff that's in there might have been for certain reasons styled by, of course, mankind trying to be like, hey, you be doing some wild shit out here. Don't do that. And in a way, if you think about it, the words can be twisted because they were obviously written down by human beings, right? So until God himself comes down and says, hey, man, you can't do that, maybe you should mind your business And you should do live your life the way you want to live your life and leave other people to fuck alone and just see how it comes out in the wash. Because one way or another, we're either going to find out what's happening, who's right or who's wrong, or there's nothing at the end of this, and then what does it matter? What are you wasting your time for? Why are you wasting your energy? Leave people to fuck alone. So that's kind of where a lot of people end up falling on this issue. And Crockett was just like, I just want you guys to stop fucking with them, basically. So let's get this subcommittee to kind of, you know, just reinforce the fact that they're supposed to be treated like human beings and we shouldn't be shitting on them, right? So this is a quote. So I can see that somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she's going to keep saying trans, 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 so that people will feel threatened and child. Listen, and as soon as she said that, here comes Nancy Mace. I am no child. Do not call me a child. I am no child. So then James Comer, the Republican chair committee, was trying to call for order. And then Nancy Mace fires off with, if you want to take it outside, we can do that. First of all, if Jasmine Crockett put hands on Nancy Mace, she gonna shake all that plastic surgery out of her face. Nancy Mace don't really want that smoke. And you can tell, while Representative Crockett is very well comported and obviously she's very well put together and poised, you can tell there's just enough hood still on her that she's like, I will take my earrings out and I will drag your ass down these stairs. So it was a stupid move. It was also woefully ill-advised and potentially dangerous for Nancy Mace, because if Crockett had gotten up and she'd been like, all right, let's go, bitch. And I'm like, oh, man. Oh, man. I am recording this particular day of CNN right now. C-SPAN was about to get lit. But it was just funny because now here, Maxwell Frost from Florida, actually, a Democrat actually from Florida, tried to step up to Crockett's defense and saying that Mace actually started this thing by, you know, basically inciting violence. Because you know what it means when somebody says that. And here's James Comer's weak ass. This is how you know they ain't about shit and they only gonna stand on business when it suits them. Because after some debate, here's what Comer says, that it wasn't necessarily a call to violence. She could have been asking her to go outside to have a cup of coffee or maybe a beer. Bitch, please. Come on. You know what somebody... I love that they try to... This is another thing, how they try to attack your intellect. And by doing so, they try to gaslight you into thinking that maybe you're the crazy one. Like, you don't know what it means. If somebody says, hey, man, you want to take this outside? You know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about they want to tune you up. Hey, you want to take this outside does not mean, hey, you know what? We should probably remove ourselves from this situation in this moment and maybe try a different venue to have this discussion. They're like, that they don't mean I'm going to take you out for a beer or a cup of coffee or a scone and we can talk it over. Not like, oh, you want to run your mouth? Bring your ass outside. If you come outside, I'm going to put these hands on you. That's what they mean. Everyone knows it. These are intelligent, educated people that this fool was talking to, and he straight up acted like they were children and didn't understand the context of the words that Mace said. Oh, my God. And because he gave Nancy Mace that out, she goes to Twitter, of course, and goes like, you know, let me be clear. I want to take the conversation off the floor to have a more constructive conversation, not to fight. At no point was there any intention of causing harm to anyone, she wrote in a post on X. Look, the reason you're saying that shit is one, because James Comer gave you the out because he's a punk. And two, because you don't want to get your ass beat. And that's the real truth. You know what I mean? If you had to put that on a prize fight, that's a fight I'll watch. I'll watch Jasmine Crockett whoop that ass. But, you know, this is what happens. Like I said, it's all bluster and shit like that until it starts to get real. Once it gets real quiet. They get real quiet about that shit. So that's just one of the weird things that's happened over the last week. There's also been a move now to bring recreational marijuana back to the ballot here in the state of Florida, which I'm super for. The language for the bill has been reworded, and they left out the obvious part. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to get this kind of thing passed in a red state, and it was so close, it should have passed in the first place. But if you want to get something like this passed in a red state, the last thing you want to do is put your quote unquote illicit behavior out where everybody can see it, right? That's this whole thing about, you know, oh, you can't have drag shows where children could see them. What about the kids? What about the kids? Man, fuck them kids. Y'all don't care about them kids. Let's just be real. If you did, you wouldn't be attacking social welfare programs. You wouldn't be so anti-education, like with your boy trying to remove the Department of Education. You would be more actively pursuant of, you know, litigation and other, you know, societal measures that would actually help the children. You know what I mean? Actually, like, you know, instead of charging people lunch debt, you'd be like, hey, man, they're kids. Let them have the fucking food. They're kids. They're kids. You know what I mean? I know that you don't like homeless people. I know you don't like migrants. But you hate children so much. You hate, and these are your own children. Because I know you like to play like it's just all inner city black and brown folks, but it ain't. When it comes to that kind of stuff, it's a lot of poor ass white folks that are eating up that food, eating up that welfare money. And the margin isn't even close. Statistically speaking, on average, the constituents, like the number of constituents that are currently on welfare, I think the last records I checked were like, it's about 67% of all welfare recipients are poor rural white people. So you're actively fucking over the people who would vote for you. And they're so dumb. And they're so inured with this idea that they could somehow reach that echelon, which you never will allow them to, that they continue to vote for you and against their own self-interest. Anyway, so yeah, there's a vote on the ballot to bring back, they're working to try to get a bill back to bring back recreational marijuana. And they took out the obvious part, which is, okay, you can't just smoke it anywhere. No shit, Sherlock. You shouldn't just be blazing a joint right in front of the bank. Of course not. You know what I mean? Maybe that works for other states, but here, no, you have to roll that shit back. You know, there's no way you're getting that through if you don't do that. So that's what they've changed right now. Hopefully it'll hit the ballot during a midterm or something like that. Or maybe there'd be a new session of voting coming around. We'll see. I'm excited for it to happen, though. Who knows? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Some other news. There's some new stuff that happened. There's a couple other news things I'll pick at in just a little bit. Just so you guys understand, I didn't get any emails this week. I'm hoping I'll get at least one or two this next week. I'd like to put a Patreon episode out with your questions. I'm just probably going to end up doing like some movie and game reviews over on Patreon, just because I think a lot of people had the misconception that the Wandering One podcast was a gaming podcast. And at no point have I ever declared that I would do a gaming podcast like that again. In fact, I've said quite the opposite for a number of years, that I would never do another gaming-centric podcast. And I guess people just weren't listening or weren't paying attention, which is not too uncommon. Because I've heard more than a few people go like, oh, I thought it was a gaming podcast. Where does it say that? Where have I ever said that? I haven't said that. Actually, ever since my last podcast went, you know, belly up, I've been very adamant about saying I would not do another gaming podcast of my own. Now, I will show up on one. If you ask me to come and talk about games on your podcast, I will. But I don't intend on creating another gaming podcast like that again. And I certainly don't plan on having a cast of characters or a staff like that. Nah. That doesn't interest me at all. So, I don't know. I guess people just don't listen to that shit. But it's not just a gaming podcast. Tell your friends. It's a bunch of random stuff that's also going to pop up too. And write in. If you like what you hear, write in. If you hate what you hear, write in. If you got a question, comment, looking for advice, write in. Right on. You know what I mean? I'm down to hear everything you got to say. I need a little bit of my coffee. Not like I need to be more caffeinated right now. We're talking about some gaming shit for a little bit, though. Now that I said it's not a gaming podcast, there is some stuff there is about gaming. Again, like I mentioned, I'm going to be off Twitch for a little while, but I'll probably pop back in sometime this weekend. Definitely for the subscriber giveaway. Which will be next weekend on Friday, the 31st. But I may pop in at some point this weekend with the stream, either sometime between Friday and Sunday. The reason why is because there's a game that has a demo out that I've been interested in trying. It's called Kazan the First Berserker. The demo's currently available now on, I think, just about every platform that the game's available on, which I believe is Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4 and 5, Switch, and I believe on PC as well. I have to double check that, but I'm not going to mess with the computer just yet. I'm looking forward to this game as far as like the look and feel of it. Now, I mean, the look of the game. It strikes me as a very interesting combination between what you might think of like a Bandai Namco anime style game, like, a, you know, with that art style of the character, characters and the design. But with the mood and the overall setting being very Dark Souls / Elden Ring, / Bloodborne kind of thing, Now, here's, in all fairness, those are not games that I generally enjoy. While I do have Elden Ring, I think I've probably played it for about 3 hours and I've never touched it again. I don't like games as punishment, and Souls games in particular, that Soulsborne type of game, where it's like hack and slash combats, you know, learning combos, triggering, you know, parries, and, you know, fighting these weird, crazy monsters and demons and shit like that. Like, in that context, it doesn't interest me. And I've never felt like, because I've always felt like part of the big thing with the Souls game is that when they first made them, there was lots of bugs and glitches, and they were just like, it's not a bug, it's a feature. And so that made the game inordinately hard for no reason. So people took it as a mark of pride of being able to play what's essentially a broken product. And then they were just like, well, if it ain't broke, technically speaking, don't fix it. So they never did. And so they just kind of left all the funky, weird shit that, you know, made the game unfun for me in the game as like in the under the guise of this is a challenge. I'm like, why? To play broken shit? I mean, would you try to play hopscotch across a bridge where every third board was missing? Or every second one could possibly crack and you'd fall to your death? No? So why am I doing this in my free time? You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't actively sign up for this shit, but so many people do. So whatever. But like I said, the game looks interesting. I'm giving it a spin just to give it a spin. Just because I'm curious to see what it's about. And yeah. We'll see. I mean, like I said, I will at some point be playing it. And whether I play it on stream or not, that's to be determined. But it does look kind of cool. One thing I noticed is I've been playing a lot of Destiny's Iron Banner. Now, I know I bitch a lot about Destiny, but I have a community of friends that I play with. And that makes the game fun. Just getting together with the homies and blowing stuff up. It's a fun time. And we kind of know the game is dying. And while we're upset and disappointed and saddened by Bungie as a company, kind of taking the piss out of everybody, and just basically, especially leaving the game itself, but particularly Xbox players left in the lurch in order to suckle at the Sony teat again, which will very soon come back to bite them. Don't you worry. In the meantime, we're having fun with what's left in the game, and we're playing this Iron Banner, which is like the second most competitive PvP gameplay mode that you can do. They continue to do stupid shit with that. The Iron Banner has like a revolving door of modes that it shifts through, of different gameplay styles that you can compete with. And they put in a mode called Eruption, which I've never really cared for. Control is basically like, you know, capture the zones, capture the flag kind of thing. And then there's another one that was called Supremacy that I really liked. Even though it was difficult, I liked that. And they mixed them together, and I forget the name of the mode. But essentially, it's... I don't really remember what the event, how it functioned. There was one that they actually did something similar to Supremacy, where you collected motes by killing the opponents. And once they died, they dropped a crest. And you grab the crest, put them in a bank, and after they banked, you would basically spawn a big bank, but it would be surrounded by a bunch of turrets. So they modified that mode and did sort of a control thing where you capture the zones, and for however long you held them, for however much amount of time, you would then get, like, you know, the hunt, which is all the zones are locked down. Once your team collects all three zones, locks everything down, you go on the hunt. It's like a little bit of extra, I think it's added damage and team, you know, just like some other perks that team gets, plus the points are slightly raised. And depending on how well you score, you earn a special bank or a special zone that's guarded by turrets. So it's kind of a combination of those two with the crests thing taken out. And I don't hate it. I'm just not a big fan of it. But I've noticed that, like, when we're playing, me and my team, we're doing really well. You know what I mean? We're not always winning, but when we crush, we crush. And, you know, we also play a lot of Gambit, which is it's not a super complex mode to explain, but it's going to take a while. So I just basically say, kill enemies, put them in a moat, get the big bad guy, kill that, win. All right. And occasionally you have a chance to invade the other team and knock the moats out of their pockets and out of their bank by, you know, either sending enemies to siphon moats out of the bank, or by going over there yourself as an invader and shooting down the other players. And so we do that a lot too. And had a really good play, that I pulled Xbox clips of. And it was hilarious. And I mean, I basically one-shotted the entire team with one rocket. I'm going to brag. That was pretty amazing. I was super excited about it. When the game was over, and I was playing solo this time, I think, no, it's myself and my friend Sam. When the game was over, though, not a single player on my team, no, because I was by myself, yeah, not a single player on my team bothered to give you the upvote at the end of the game. There's basically like, you know, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't, you know, add any content to the game. You know, you don't get any points or prizes or any shit like that. It's just a, basically the recognition of your teammates to be like, good job, man. And not a single one. Not a single one. Although, it's what they call an army of one when you wipe the entire team out during an invasion. I got two of those that game for a total of 11 kills on two invasions, and not a single one of them bothered to even tick a vote. I don't know what that mentality is. You know what I mean? I've never quite grasped that. Like, what does it hurt you to say somebody else did a good job? And it's one of those bizarre things I've noticed a lot, like especially I can't stand a know-it-all gamer and I can't stand a try-hard gamer or it's like a take my ball and going home gamer. You know what I mean? Like the know-it-alls are the ones who basically have to, at every turn, let you know as much about the game as they possibly can in an attempt to, I don't know, impress you with their gaming knowledge, but all it does is make you sound like an arrogant ass. It's one thing if somebody asks your opinion and they come to you for advice, but unsolicited advice is exactly that, and no one wants it. But I've seen it happen a lot, especially lately. There's some people that I've noticed that in streams that I've been watching, in content that I've been consuming, and then like in multiplayer games I've been playing, and then people just cannot stop themselves from basically putting on their smarty pants and then just basically lambasting other players. Oh, you should be doing this. If you want to really get the most out of that, you should do that. Hey, how about you shut the fuck up and play? And if you're that good, why don't you show me how to do it? And then the other one is like the tryhards who just cannot, I mean, they can't stop, won't stop, gotta go hard every single match, doing the most, talking the most shit, and then being just kind of shitty people, you know, in general about, you know, I'm so great at this. Okay, sure, whatever. What's the rest of your life look like? You know what I mean? It's like, that's that whole like kind of trope where you like the guy's super good at the game from like South Park. You know what I mean? The basement gamer, the dude's so good at this one particular game, but he's this giant, out of shape, unhealthy, overweight dude that nobody wants to hang out with, you know, sitting in his mom's basement with like Cheeto dust all over his fingers and trash and dirty laundry all over his house. He's a wreck. Dude's a wreck. It's like, so you think you're so cool and shit like that because you're good at this video game, but your life is a disaster. How about instead of stepping my game up, you get your fucking life together first, okay? It's just that kind of thing annoys me. And it's weird because I've actually seen it happen. So one of my daughters actually is a streamer as well. And when she started getting into streaming, it was really cool to watch the different kinds of games that she would play. And she picked up on Valorant, which is another first-person shooter kind of game, like strategy and shit like that. And one of the guys that was in, I think, one of her streams was just some random that kind of popped in. And she was leaving like the game chat open, which means that like everybody that's in that team can talk to one another. And the guy was sitting there trying to harangue the other players, basically saying like, you weren't that great. You know what I mean? You should have been doing this. I could have gotten all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm so good and this, that, and the other. And she's very plain voice just kind of goes, and you're talking all that trash, but you have like no assists and more deaths than anybody else. So why are you talking? And the whole lobby went dead silent, but her chat was just like, oh, damn. It was hilarious. I was crying laughing. I'm like, bro, it's... See, now that's the thing. Those people get butthurt. They get like, oh, well, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Well, go, motherfucker. Nobody asked you to be here. And the fucked up thing about it is you never really want to hurt somebody's feelings like that if you're a halfway decent person. But there does come a point when you do have to address somebody who's being a jackass as though you're another jackass. You know what I mean? It's the whole, you know, it's the flip flop of the verse that you hear. They've probably read in the Bible before. You've heard it paraphrased somehow. It's like, you answer a fool according to his folly, and you'll be like him yourself. And then it says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. So it's like you think it's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't, but it's really like a situational kind of thing, right? Like, you can drop yourself down to somebody's level by being just as ignorant as they are. Or you can basically highlight and illustrate their stupidity or their arrogance or whatever, what have you, in a way to kind of correct them and to teach them, hey, you're not that great and you need to chill the hell out. Maybe you work on yourself before you start judging other people. So, you know what I mean? It's like, people look at it as like a like a catch 22 in that way. But no, really it is. It's just saying that there's a time and a place for this kind of behavior. And sometimes you got to act a fool to show a fool. And, you know, that's what it's what it is. I think it's just bizarre that it's happening a lot more lately. And I think part of it is maybe my fault in a way, because I've been pretty permissive in letting people just kind of like, not show their ass on my stream necessarily. But I haven't been I haven't been as regimented in screening players. Now, when I first started, I let the doors open. Everybody in, everybody can hang. You know, we're cool, we're good. And then real quickly, I realized that that is a huge mistake. People will come in and say the most unconscionable shit during your stream. They will abuse your friend. They will abuse other players. And at that point, I had to cut it off. I'm like, I don't play with anybody that is not a friends or family. So if you're not my good friend, I've known for a long time, you know, and if you're not like a family member, I'm not playing with you. And then I loosened just a little bit where I was like, you know, I will give you some opportunities to game with me off stream so I can kind of gauge your personality and how you're going to act. Because when the cameras aren't on, you know what I mean? You will probably let your, you know, let your freak flag fly a little bit more. So I'm like, all right, let's do that. but I think lately, just because, you know, in the interest of maybe trying to open up the stream to more people, and also to, you know, there's some games that I'm playing now that are a little bit more, you know, they're new, they're hot, they're flashing, the flash in the pan is already happening. There's a lot of vibe, spice around it. You know, like Marvel Rivals, Genshin Impact, and whatnot. And I've been a little bit more permissive about having people, you know, jump into like a party chat with myself and my friends. And I think that has proven to be a mistake, because I've had some people pop in and you're like, you are annoying me and the rest of my team, and I don't want you around. And without actually having to put too fine a point on it, you know what I mean? I've been pretty lackadaisical about taking it to the streets on that shit. But at this point, I've gotten to the point where I can't have your vibe harsh the vibe of all the people I've been known and playing with, like I've known and been playing with for years. In some cases, decades probably. And just because you're new and you're having fun here doesn't give you the right to treat the people that I care about that way. And even if you're my friend and I catch you like snapping off like that, I'm like, we need to have a discussion, because this is not okay. Whatever this is that you got going on, like, you can't do that shit here. Mostly I've seen it in other places. Like, I've seen it a lot. I think maybe it's just the tension of, you know, the world that we live in. It could also be a little bit of bleeding the lines from the holidays. I don't know what the situation is. All I know is I don't like it and I don't have to put up with it. And maybe you guys have some ideas on how to deal with it. Maybe you've dealt with the situation yourself, or maybe you're actively dealing with it and you want some advice. So, like I said, I don't know. Write in about that. Let's chat it up. I'd also noticed some fun stuff too, just in life. My cat's weird, man. I love my cat. She's great. She's cute and stuff, but she's a weird fucking cat. The truth is, a couple of different times tried to introduce other cats or kittens into her life, and she just was not having it. I think the closest she ever got along with another cat might have been when a friend of my wife stayed with us for a while. She had a cat named Henrietta, and Kimari was also not fixed at the time. So, you know, her being in heat every now and again was probably part of the issue. But when they first met, they didn't really get on, and they never really became friends, but they could at least be cordial enough to like pass each other in the hallway without fighting and stuff like that. But as she got older, you know what I mean? We fostered some kittens and none of that worked out because she wouldn't deal with them. We got close a couple of times and the kittens don't know that she's an old cat. Basically, they just see cat and they're like, play. And she's like, I'm ancient. Why are you chasing me? I don't want to be bothered. So it's been kind of weird. And I want to have her, you know, a playmate because otherwise she just sits and sleeps all day, which is pretty much what cats do in the first place. But I figured it might, as she gets a little bit older, a companion might not be such a horrible thing. So I've been trying to like kind of, you know, get her into the play mode a little bit. You know, there's plenty of toys and she has cat hutches and stuff like that and scratching posts. And none of it interests her, really. You know, I've created toys. I've bought toys. I used to have this one toy. It was like just like a little mouse on a string, you know, with the feather and shit. You know, everybody's seen that little wand, basically. And she hates those things. I had one that actually squeaked a little bit when you wiggled it and it would hit the ground. The vibration would make it squeak like a mouse or something. She ran away from it every time. She absolutely hated it. And I do have a suspicion that at one point, one of my ex-girlfriends I was staying with them and their roommate was a real asshole. I think at one point they tried to hit her with the toy and then she just became afraid of it. But I could never prove it because I never saw it. But she just doesn't play like a normal cat. If I roll a ball to her, sometimes she'll run to the ball and grab it and wrestle with it and then jump around. Sometimes she'll run in the opposite direction of the ball. Or sometimes she'll like jump away from it as though it was on fire. I don't know what to do with this cat. I know that she's super needy lately. And it's been weird. It's not bad. You know what I mean? I love her, but it's just she'll... If she doesn't see me for a while, she comes. I come out of my office or whatever. I come back from running an errand or something. Even if I'm just out in the back porch having a smoke, she'll come in and just meow, like it's super loud. Like she's yelling at me for something. Like I'm like, what do you want? She doesn't want to be picked up. Hates that shit. She doesn't like to be held like a baby or like a normal cat. Absolutely despises it. She'll put her back feet on your chest and push away from you, like how a baby will try to like do a backflip out of your arms when you hold them. She does that shit when you pick her up. She doesn't want to be played with, because if you play with her, then she runs around, then she rolls over and then hisses. Only one thing she wants to do is be chased around or to chase you, and then after that, she just flops over on her side like she's gonna play, but then she just runs away again. I don't know what to do with this cat. It's so weird. Like, so I'm thinking I might have to see if I can find like a senior cat that's up for adoption and maybe have that one kind of live its life out with Kimari until they're, you know, old lady cats together. I don't know what to do, man. I noticed that one thing that's been happening is she's been kind of avoiding food a little bit. I'm hoping that she was okay. I thought she was sick. Nope. Turns out sometimes cats just decide they don't want to eat. And I know it was different because I got this like, it's a little snack that you can get for your kittens or cats. It's called Churu. A lot of people use it in rescue situations or TNR situations. So they tag, neuter, and release. Trap, neuter, and release, I mean. And so when they use them, it's basically to entice the animal to come closer to you so you can get a hold of it. This time I was using it as a an enticement for her to eat. But she hadn't eaten for like almost a full day. And I was starting to get worried. But you know, I was talking to a guy I used to work with. He's like, yeah, sometimes cats just do that. They just don't eat for like a while. He's like, you put down food, they'll ignore it all day long. And then at some point, usually when you're asleep, usually when you don't want to be bothered or don't have the time or ability to be bothered, that's when they want to eat. So I just put a little bit of this Churu in her food, mix it up, set it down, boom, gone. She ate the whole thing. I got a finicky fancy cat, man. I don't know what to tell you. It's bizarre out there in them streets, son. Oh, you know, I meant to say something else. I noticed that some of you guys probably mentioned this before or have seen it somewhere else. The Nintendo Switch 2 has a projected date for not release necessarily, but they're supposed to be, maybe it's a release, but I think actually it's supposed to be like a Nintendo Direct when they're going to show the system off a little bit more. One is set for February and the other one, there's a date of, what is it? April? I think it's April 2nd of this year. So I couldn't get any clear picture on it. I think it's the Nintendo Direct they're going to do, where they're going to show more about the new system. It's bigger, bigger screen, bigger hand grips for the Joy-Cons. They actually have like a curved, now it looks like a more ergonomic design for the Joy-Cons instead of the flat little bricks that you get, which I'm excited about. And they say it's going to be mostly backwards compatible with the original Switch. And that's good news, because having to buy less plastic is a great thing. And also, you know, I mean, if it breaks down or whatever, that means that I could probably play at least some of my old Switch games still, if I keep the old one, you know, and I'll be able to play the new upgraded stuff that's going to be on the new one. We'll see. I mean, no real plans for a Switch 2 in the immediate future. Like, even if it does drop in April, I don't intend on getting it. I'm never really an early adopter kind of guy. I always find that there's more problems with that than anything, you know? Like, it just gets to be a big, fat, hairy mess. And then you're stuck, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I've spent, like, X amount of dollars on this thing. Hundreds, in some cases, thousands of dollars on this and the games and the peripherals, and it's broken. Or it doesn't work as intended or advertised. And you're like, well, I just got to eat that. Nah. I'd rather wait until they've worked out more of the bugs and catch it, like, you know, version 2.0 or 2.5 or whatever. Even the 1.5 might be better. But yeah, first day out, probably not. It's going to be a pass for me. And that's sad, because, you know, I think that's just the way that businesses do stuff now. When they release new products, they don't ever put out a good, complete, solid, finished version yet. They always put out some bullshit and see if they can get away with it. And then when people are mad, then they're like, oh, we'll fix it. It's like, no, just do it right the first time. You know, if you do it right the first time, you don't have to do it again. I don't know where that kind of logical thinking skipped in, like, the minds of corporations or even manufacturers or anybody, right? If you do it right the first time, you don't have to do it again. It's super, super simple. But, you know, concept's pretty hard for some folks to grasp, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, there was that. Also, a little bit more gaming news. Been seeing a lot of stuff sliding off of Sony's plate lately. I'm not saying that Xbox has their shit together, because they don't. But it is kind of funny to watch Sony, like, overextend themselves and make stupid moves and then have to eat shit behind it. A lot of games that they were talking about, this is actually being discussed in my Discord, a lot of games that they were talking about turning into live service games have been falling apart because people don't have the time, money, or capacity to spend on another game that's going to be, you know, paid updates every couple months and, you know, you got to buy this and, you know, spend your time grinding away for that. Like, no. People don't have the time. They don't have the energy. They don't have the wherewithal to do that shit. One guy put it pretty well in a video that we were listening to, one of our community members, Jalen, posted. And the guy put it pretty well. He's like, those live service games end up becoming like a job. And nobody has time to work 12 jobs. And I was like, you know, that's exactly how I felt about Destiny, especially the last year or so. Like, doing all the stuff, finding all the things, handling all the, like, finishing all the storylines and everything like that. It became fucking work. And even though I was streaming it on Twitch, which does net me a tiny bit of revenue, it wasn't netting me the kind of revenue that I wanted to spend, you know, 12 hours a day just playing Destiny. Fuck no. It was just, and then imagine, you know, that every game that you get, or let's say, like, your major franchises, which was, there were a couple of them that were planned that were like, why would you do that? I mean, one of them was Dying Light. Another one was God of War. There was another offshoot game from Destiny that was being planned, and almost all of those are just shit can now. They've canceled them all. I'm going to laugh my ass off if they cancel Bungie's Marathon. They've already canceled another game called Concord that was supposed to be a similar kind of, you know, first-person shooter, arena-style shooter kind of thing. They've already canceled that one. Well, here's the thing. They didn't cancel it. They released it. It was terrible. Everybody was mad about it, and then they had to give back all the money that they got, because people paid for the game and it was trash. So effectively, it's the same as cancellation, because it didn't work. No one liked it. They had to give back all the money and they lost out. You know what I mean? They lost. They didn't really lose as much of the money side as they lost the mind share and the faith of the players. And they're going to keep doing that. So, oh boy, here's some more of that. You know, you just can't get people to act right. Just can't get them to act right. What is going on? Oh my God. Oh, speaking of people who can't act right, I saw this the other day too. And it's, of course, this news comes out, you know, I mean, it was earlier in the month of January. I didn't catch it right away during the cycle, but then it came across my path the other day. Excuse me. Wow. Sorry about that. In a video that we were watching, the wife and I, District of Columbia Public Schools gets hit with a civil suit after, a parents activist group complained about a student affinity group that the kids put together. So this is a really weird story, so bear with me. This advocacy group, Parents Defending Education, filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights and says that they wanted to open an investigation into an empowerment club in the District of Columbia public school system. So the group is called an affinity group, and it's designed for Black female students. A flyer that the people, these parents defending education, I don't know what they think they're defending it from, said that it advertises the club for girls in first through fifth grade who identify as Black, African, African-American, biracial, or part of the African diaspora and non-binary students. So what they're trying to do is focus on empowerment, creativity, and community. Just basically getting young Black girls to feel good about themselves. How is that a problem, right? Well, what they say is that this group is exclusionary. Okay. It says it prohibits they're saying that the club itself violates Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of race in programs receiving federal funding. The group alleges that the club may be in violation of the 14th Amendment and says that a portion of the amendment prohibits the denial of equal protection of the laws to any person. So this lady, Caroline Moore, she's the vice president of this Parents Defending Education, said that the club creates, quote, has created an academic community in which students are purposely separated because of their race at a very young age. Now, for those of you who don't know, I did a little bit of digging into Parents Defending Education. Guess what their affiliation is? You got it. They're a very right-wing conservative group that, generally speaking, kind of goes after anything for Black people, LGBTQ students, and stuff like that. If you're Black, brown, or LGBTQ, they don't want you. But here's the fucked up part about it, right? They don't want you to have shit. They're like, we want to be included. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just don't want me to have shit. Like, people like you spent decades trying to keep us out of your schools and away from you guys, separate but equal, right? But now, y'all want to be up in everything we're doing. Mind your fucking business. Leave people the fuck alone. How does this group of little Black girls getting together and just basically liking themselves affect or offend you in any way, shape, or form? I want one of them to sit down and answer that question to me in a way that makes sense. Because here's it. Here's the newsflash. You can't. If you had a group for little white kids where you weren't just, I mean, they're not saying like, hey, you know what? We're Black and we're better than everybody else. It's like, we're Black kids and we're good. We're good. We're worthwhile. We're valuable. Not that we're better, you know what I mean, than our Caucasian counterparts. But we're worthy. How's that hurting anyone? How's that hurting white kids? Why are white kids supposedly so fucking fragile? I don't understand, because that's basically what these parents are saying. It's like, and that's what they're also, here's the other thing about Parents Defending Education, very much against critical race theory. They don't want their kids to know that slavery happened, which is part of these kinds of pushes. When they say they want to do like stupid Governor DeSantis here was trying to say that slavery actually benefited the slaves because they learned useful skills. Oh, you mean like being whipped and forced to do hard labor, having their families stripped and taken apart, having their wives and daughters raped in front of them, and having their men abused and emasculated? Were those the kinds of skills we're talking about learning, massa? No, fuck that guy. And fuck these people too. Because the real truth is, the whole thing about it is that they don't want you to feel good about anything. They don't really care. You know what I mean? They don't care that their kids get to know you or anything. That's not their fucking concern. They don't care that the kids aren't going to be included in the group. They just don't want you to feel good. They don't want you to feel empowered. Why is empowerment a good thing for these nigger kids? That's what they're saying, basically. They're saying it quietly, but that's basically what they're doing. Is they don't want you to feel good about shit. And so by saying what they've done, basically, is they've opened the door for us to go like, yeah, well, you're basically just a racial hate group. You should have left it alone, but now you fucked with it, so now you got it. And it won't take long before that kind of thing happens. They're like, yeah, these people have a serious racial bias, and they need to be stopped and shut down immediately. You're going to fuck around and find out. Like I said, Parents Defending Education, if you see them pop up anywhere near you, run. like I said, they try to, you know, paint themselves off as, you know, oh, we're a grassroots organization. No, you're a quiet but loud whisper campaign and dog whistle for white nationalism. Just say that. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't have to wear the hoods and the white sheets, but you could just say, hey, man, we don't want y'all around. I mean, I would settle for that. A little transparency, you know what I mean? That's all we're asking for in my racism. Just make it clear. I don't need you to try to pretend to be my friend. I need you to just tell me the truth. Like, you don't like me? All right, I don't like you either. So what? We leave each other alone. I don't think it's too much to ask. You know, it is a lot to ask. I actually had this conversation, not had this conversation, heard this conversation on another podcast where the host was talking about, I guess he got like an email where the guy said that he was friends with his ex and it was driving his current girlfriend nuts. And I'm like, that's weird. Maybe it's just me because I'm not super antagonistic towards my exes, at least most of them. And I think that most of us have like at least a cordial relationship. Like, we're not inviting each other out to dinner or no shit like that. And usually we don't hang out with each other. Even my wife, we don't have like, there might be like one person that she used to date too, maybe, that we talk to and hang out with. And even I don't have anybody in my life that, like, even if they were close with me like that, and we did hang out like that, that would be a problem. But y'all think you could be friends with your ex? Because I think, like I said, I'm friendly. You know what I mean? I'm cordial at least with my exes, but I mean, we're not planning no family vacations together or nothing like that. But if one of them, you know, lived nearby, like most of my, and also this is the other thing, most of my exes live in other states. So it's not like it's really become an issue. But if there was an ex that was here in the states, that in this state that we were cool enough to hang out with, I would like to think that that wouldn't be an issue. And if it would be, then I'd have to be like, well, why is that an issue? You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I like I said, I can be friendly with damn near anybody as long as you're not being friendly with me. You know, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to see each other every day, but if we can keep it polite, that's cool. And I think it was just a weird thing. It was like, you can't be friends with your ex because if there was love and emotions there, then that's gonna always be there. Well, here's the thing: if that's what you're worried about, that's not really an ex yet. You know what I mean? That's my contention. If you're worried about the emotional attachment between two people who used to date or whatever, if you're worried about that, then what you're really saying is, whether you're the partner or you're the person that's involved directly in that relationship, what you're really saying is, I'm not over them yet. And, you know, there's a part of me that still wants that. You know what I mean? And there can be a part of you that can at least remember fondly or respect the relationship without having to pine for it or long for it again. And I think that's kind of what this person was saying is, like, you know, he's like, you can't do that because you're still feeling that. And, like, I think that you're talking about yourself, because I don't think I've got an ex out there yet that I'm like, I'm still carrying a torch for. You know what I mean? Can I remember fond times and fun times? Sure. But am I going to be like, oh, I wish? I'm like, nah, you ain't for that shit no more. Plus, not to put too fine a point on it, like I was saying the other day from a friend of mine, about a third of my exes are dead, so. And no, I didn't kill them. Just unfortunate circumstances of life had taken them far too soon, in most people's opinion, mine as well. I personally also think that when people say too soon, it's like you go when you're meant to go. But anyway, I digress. I'm just saying, like, there's not really any reason, call, or, you know, there's no impetus, there's no desire to go back. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to move forward. You were most likely an ex for a good reason. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I hate you, but it doesn't also mean that we have to consistently keep in contact and communicate. And if we do, that means that there's at least something that was reasonable and rational about the two of us, and we can work it out. We can talk about it. And we can become friends beyond that. And I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you have an ex that you're friends with? Do you have someone that you're really close with that was an ex that you're like, man, this is cool with me, but maybe somebody else wouldn't be cool with? Let me know. How about you guys hit me up over at Patreon, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. That's where you can write me, write questions, comments, you know, concerns. If you got some beef, let's hash it out. You know, let's see what's up. If you maybe want like an outside perspective on a situation, question, whatever. Hit me up there. I would really love to get some emails over there. And I'll see what I can do about, you know, whenever I decide to make the jump from the stock three social media sites, where I'm going to be and how I'm going to do it. I haven't decided fully yet. I may just stay there. Who knows? Like I said, it's one thing to be like to stand out and be unique and be different and blaze a trail or whatever, but if you blaze a trail and nobody follows, what are you doing really? I guess you're there for the journey, right? This is Wandering One Studios after all. It's a good idea. All right, and then again, I said see you on Twitch .tv/LinkIB. That for sure is happening on Friday. Excuse me, Friday, January 31st. Probably about 3. I'm hoping to be somewhere between 1 and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so I can do that stream, give everybody their, you know, their kudos and props and thanks for supporting this stream. This is a subscriber giveaway, so in order to win, you'd have to be subscribed to the channel. But you can subscribe for as little or as much as you would like. It's your world. I'm just Squirrel. So hopefully you guys will join me over there for a little bit of game time. I guess maybe pop up again this coming weekend. But in the meantime, in between time, I'm Link Flores. You guys have been amazing, and I'll see you guys a little further down the road. Peace.